It's time for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug DeFeller.
Thanks, Paul. Well, welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective for the second time today, but you may not know that. Our topic for today is how to ask for what you want and get it. Sounds fascinating, doesn't it? Well, you know, asking for what you want, it's not all about the presentation. It's really all about knowing when and how to ask for what you want. So let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you know how to lay the foundation for getting a yes to your requests? Are you ever afraid to ask for what you want? And when you do ask, do you have difficulty dealing when someone says no to your requests? Well, we're going to learn some easy ways to deal with this and also how to always say yes without overwhelming yourself. Before we get into that, just briefly, if you're listening to our podcast, hey, be sure to visit our website, thecoachingperspective.com. If you're on thecoachingperspective.com, be sure to visit our Podbeam site where we have our archives of all of our past shows for the last 4+ years, and that's at dgefeller, dgefeller.podbeam.com. Hey, we're always looking for guests to interview on the show, so we're looking for coaches, CEOs, HR professionals, authors, anyone that we feel can add to the knowledge base here to help us do a better job in our daily businesses. If you're interested, send me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. Well, as we said at the start of the show, our topic for today is how to ask for what you want and get it. You know, this is an issue that we have all been facing since an early age. We started out as a child knowing what we wanted, but unable to communicate it clearly to others. Remember mom saying, just use your words. You know, how many times did we hear that? We moved on to the teenage years, and as guys, we had to get the courage to ask for that first date. And for gals, it was, how do I get them to ask me? We moved on into adulthood, some of us, and we struggled with creating an environment with our partners where we had a safe place where we could ask each other for what we wanted, and there were no negative repercussions. And of course, in business, this issue of asking is a daily issue for all of us, whether it's asking for that raise, asking to have your clients pay more to raise your rates, or a million other things. So why is asking such a common issue with people? You know, as a coach, this frequently pops up with my clients, but it's usually disguised as some other communication problem or a problem that someone else created. So what I'd like to do today is I want to try to break this down, see if we can learn a few simple rules that will make it easier or more effective. And I say more effective because I know that many of you out there are saying, I don't have a problem asking for what I want. I would just ask, are you getting what you want as often as you could? So let's take a look at three things that you can do that will make it easier for you to ask for what you want. And when we're done going over those, I want to sort of back up and look at them from a coaching point of view and with the idea of now knowing what is hindering us from asking and some ways to make it more effective. For those coaches listening, how do you work with your clients to get them to see this and to become more effective? Well, first, do you know what you really want? You know, this seems kind of obvious, but have you seen the statistics on the number of people who won the lottery and within 3 years were right back where they started or even worse off financially? It seems that they thought they wanted money, but what they really wanted was something else, and money was just the vehicle to get there. Why is it that so often when someone wants a raise or a bonus and you give it to them, that they're still unhappy? Is it that what they were really asking for was something else, like recognition, either public or private, but they thought the money that you would give them would satisfy them? You see, if you're not really clear about the end result that you want, then you probably cannot clearly communicate the ask question. And for sure, that means you're not going to get what you want. I mean, this sounds like a lot of rhetoric here, but the The issue is, are we being clear about what we want? Are we really letting the other person? Do we know ourselves what we want? And I mean the root issue of what we want. I can say I want more time, but what I really mean is I just want easier deadlines, not more time. So we want to really get clear about what it is that we really know that we want. You know, I've seen this a lot in recent years in my coaching of people who are unhappy with their jobs. They took a job because they needed a paycheck, thinking that that's what they wanted. But, you know, it turns out that's not all they needed. They wanted the ability to learn, or they wanted to be part of a supportive community. But they hadn't taken the time to think about, was there more than one thing that they wanted in looking for this job? They were just focused on maybe being employed, or maybe just getting that paycheck coming in. And hey, that's understandable, but it's also sort of short-sighted, because once you get that check coming in, if what you really wanted out of this position or this company was some other things besides just the money, then you're going to be unhappy. And if you're unhappy, you're not going to do well. If you're not going to do well, it isn't going to work out. So in these cases, I find the clients were not clear with themselves as to what they wanted in a job. And so they didn't ask the right questions in the hiring process. You know, so often, and we've talked about this on other shows, companies spend a lot of time training their managers on how to conduct a good interview, on designing sometimes lists of standard questions, on having more than one person involved, all of this so that they can get to the heart of who the person is that they're interviewing, and is that person going to fit in. But for those of you on the other side of the table that are being interviewed for this position, or for those of us who sell services and we're being interviewed for providing those services, are we asking the right questions to be sure that, in fact, if they say yes, we want to say yes also? You know, do you want that prospect, for instance, to commit to a month of coaching or one order? Do you want them to commit to a long-term relationship? You know, it's one thing to sell somebody on buying your services or taking advantage of a one-time coaching session, but it's another thing to sell them, to ask them to commit to a longer-term relationship. And how you go about that is really key. So, you know, the point here with this issue is being real clear about knowing what it is that you want. The second point that I want to talk about is that, you know, I said it's not all about the presentation. It is really about knowing when and how to ask for what you want. It's about laying the foundation for getting a yes to your request. Now, I don't mean that the presentation isn't important, but what I'm saying is that knowing when and how to ask for the order is equally important. Asking for anything before you've been able to show the client or the prospect the value of saying yes is a sure way to failure. What I mean by showing value is that you have identified for the other person what their needs are and how saying yes to you will satisfy those needs. For example, if you ask me to buy a raffle ticket for $500, my initial answer is no. Because in my mind, the odds of winning are too small for me to want to risk $500. But if you told me that only two tickets are being sold and the prize is $500,000, then my response is probably going to be, yes, I want to buy a ticket because you've shown me a value proposition that I like. So this is what we're talking about, knowing when to ask. You can't ask for the yes too early. You know, you don't walk up to someone and say, my name is Joe Smith, would you buy this insurance policy from me? You know, you've got to win their trust, win their confidence. You've got to, whatever it is that has to do with your business, that has to come first. And, you know, let me just suggest that in most cases, you also want to look at getting incremental yeses before you pop the big question. You know, sounds sort of like a marriage thing. You know, we don't start out with saying, hey, honey, you're hot. Would you marry me? We start out a little slower. Would you like to go to dinner? Would you like to get a cup of coffee? Would you like to get together on a regular basis? Would you like to get engaged? And then eventually maybe we get around to popping the question. But we're testing the waters along the way. We're making sure that, hey, we're still interested. And we're making sure that the person on the other side of this equation is also giving us positive signals that they're interested. And if we're not getting those positive reinforcements along the way incrementally, then we need to change how we're presenting the information. So think about the car salesman. You know, you walk onto the car lot. He says, hey, would you like to see that model? Would you like to sit in it? Would you like to take a test drive? Would you like to see what the financing alternatives are for the car? Now he's ready to ask, do you want to buy? He doesn't just say, hey, welcome to Joe Smith Chevrolet. You want to buy this car here? He's getting you involved in the process. Now, by involved, this is another way of saying that we have to stop selling features and benefits and instead sell solutions to the other person's problems. Now, for some of you, you're going, what do you mean features and benefits? Well, let me give you another car example. Don't bore me with the advantages of owning a Prius when I'm looking for something that's going to turn heads when I drive down the street. My problem that I'm looking to solve in buying a car has to do with the image that the car is going to give me. It doesn't have to do with the gas mileage and the resale value and the warranty and the consumer report ratings and the carbon footprint that's being left. Those things might not interest me. So that car might be very good in terms of being able to rank very high in those areas, but they may not be areas that I'm interested in. So you don't sell the features and benefits of your car, your service, or your product until you find out what the other person's problems are. And once you've identified their problems, then you have to ask yourself, will my services or will my product solve those problems? And if they will, then you start the conversation about incrementally getting them to say yes as you take them down the road of understanding how your product or how your services are going to solve that issue. So again, it's so many times people focus on a presentation without knowing what the audience is really interested in. You know, the hardest thing as a speaker going into a group is knowing how to gear the talk. You know, you're asked to speak to a group and you ask how many people are going to be, 20 or 400. That kind of tells you, is this going to be formal or informal presentation? You might ask, what's the background? These people are all engineers or they're all salesmen or they're all teenagers or they're all senior citizens. That might give you some more information to work up how you want to. Now, you may be giving the same presentation, but you're going to present it in a different way. In other words, you're going to have the same facts at your disposal, the same data, but you're going to prioritize it. You're going to present it in different orders depending upon your audience. What do you think, knowing that your audience is predominantly younger people, new in the workplace, what does that tell you maybe about the pace at which you're making the presentation? I'm probably talking too slow. I'm probably taking too long. They're used to the video game world. They're used to this instant response and quick feedback of information. So the second point there, it isn't all about the presentation. It's knowing what the other person is looking for and knowing whether you have what they're looking for and then incrementally getting them to agree that what you have is what they need so that you finally get to the big question and they say yes at that point in time. Now, I don't care whether we're talking here about making a big sale of a product or a service, or whether we're talking about something on a much smaller basis. It doesn't make any difference. If I'm asking you about where you want to go to dinner, you know, do you want Italian or do you want Mexican? I might start out by asking, are you interested in going to dinner and sitting down and taking 2 hours? Or are you more inclined to want to just grab something and eat it in the car on our way? You know, I could spend a lot of time going through the benefits of this great restaurant and their service and their food and their wine list and the environment, only to find out that you're interested, your time frame is such that you want to grab a sandwich and eat it in the car on our way to the next meeting that we're rushing to get to. So that's what I'm saying. It's not just the presentation. It's knowing the audience and getting that incremental buy-in. Well, let's look at the third of the three areas that I've identified as key in the ask problem. Are you afraid to ask for what you want? Do you have difficulty dealing with someone saying no to your request? You know, fear of rejection or fear of failure holds many of us back. You know, why is it that we continue to pursue the same potential clients or prospects, even though we have little chance of ever getting their business? But at least by not asking them and getting a no, we can go on with the hope, the optimism that someday things will change. You know, this is the salesmen get blamed for this all the time, and that's a bad rap because we all could get blamed for it. We're all continuing relationships to sell or convince somebody to do something that we know the odds are against them ever buying in. And we've never asked the question because we don't want them to say no. Because when they say no, then they drop off of our list. And now I have no prospects that I'm working. And I feel like things aren't going well. The issue here is to really shift your objective. You know, we need to shift it from one of getting a yes to one of getting a definitive response, which can either be a yes or a no, or even a specific list of issues that need additional research. You know, if we can make this shift, then we can walk away from a no response feeling that we've won, in the sense that we now know we're not going to spend any more time with that prospect. You know, personally, the fear for me of asking was so great for a long time that the minute you suggested that I make a sales call, I could come up with 1,000 reasons why I was too busy to do that. And for me, the breakthrough with some really great coaching, the breakthrough for me came when I finally made the mental shift of no longer thinking that I was asking somebody to give me something, but instead was able to look at it in a way that I was helping them solve a problem that they had. I wasn't imposing on them. I wasn't taking their time away from something more important. I wasn't trying to sell them something they didn't need. No, I in fact was there to identify, do they have a problem that I could help them solve in a unique way and maybe better than anybody else could? And once I developed that mental shift, then my conversations changed completely. It no longer was that sales kind of smooth talking, which it never was for me, but that salesman kind of dialogue. Instead, it was a friendly conversation about how can I help you? You know, this is one of my favorite books is Jeffrey Gittimer's book on network connections, how to network. And he talks about the fact that the first thing you do in a networking environment is to find out from the other person, what can you do to help them? What do they need? And, you know, this is so foreign to us. We go into a networking meeting, we look to meet new people, and what we want to do is we're hoping they stop talking soon enough that we can tell them exactly what we want. You know, what will make them remember you, what will impress them, what will create a relationship is when you ask them what they need and how you might help them with that. So we need to keep in mind, you know, that most people really enjoy helping others. In multi-level marketing, the first thing they teach you is to approach the prospect by asking them if they could help you solve a problem. You know, because this automatically changes the tone of the conversation. You know, the phone rings. I'm having dinner. Somebody says, after trying to act like they know me well, you know, I want to tell you about how we can save money on your energy bill. You know, they haven't gotten into identifying whether I'm interested in saving money on my energy bill, whether I'm interested in talking to anybody about anything right now in the middle of dinner or after the day that I've just had. So the third issue, the issue of dealing with the fear of rejection, of dealing with the reluctance to ask the question because you're getting a no, really can be dealt with if you start to think about the fact and you change the shift that your objective is to find out whether you can help this person or not, so that a definitive answer that I have services or products that can help you, yes or no, is what I'm looking for, and I'm just as happy with the no because then I'm out of there on to the person that's going to say yes. The exception to that is if you can, if the person says, well, I can't say yes or no because I've got some questions you haven't asked, answered. So, okay, that's valid too. So those are the sort of three areas that I say that needs to be looked at when you are looking at what's keeping you from asking for the order, asking for the sale, asking for what you want. And as a coach out there, when you're working with your clients, the coaching really is, you know, do they really know what they want? Can you ask the questions to get them to dig a little deeper, to identify what it is that they really want? Can you work with them to get them to change their communication style, to find out more about the other person rather than just broadcasting their own point of view? And can you get them to shift their attitude to one of, it's a win if I find out whether I can help this person or not, even if I can't sell them the product? Well, the last thing I want to cover here in the next couple of minutes, and then we'll wrap it up for today, is how do you respond when people ask you for something? We've talked about how to ask them. How do you respond? You know, are you one of those people who can never say no to someone, and then later on you wonder why you ended up making that commitment? You know, it's important to me that my clients think of me as a positive person, one who's always willing to help, and not someone that says no to every request. So I'm going to give you my secret formula for saying yes, but really meaning no. Let's assume that this isn't a internet conversation, but let's assume that this has been a dinner speech and I've been talking about this topic and now I'm winding it down. And right afterwards, you come up to me and you say, Doug, could you spend an hour with me right now and go into more detail on this topic? I'm really interested in it. How do I respond to that? I want to be seen as helpful and available. But hey, I just finished making this presentation. I don't have an hour right now. So here's the response that I would give to you. Yes, I would really enjoy spending some more time with you on this topic. However, I have another commitment right now, so can we schedule a phone call for tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.? Otherwise, it's going to have to wait 2 weeks, which is when I've got the next opening in my regular schedule. Now, what do you think your response to that is? You know, 5 a.m. is a little early for me, but maybe I really do want to talk to you, so I guess 2 weeks would be okay. Now, to tie this up, my next response is, great, I'm looking forward to it. So I don't forget about this, could you please send me an email reminding me of our talk today and requesting a phone conversation for 2 weeks from now, letting me know what times would be good for you, okay? Now, let me tell you what happens here. the majority of the time, the outcome of the conversation is that the person walks away feeling that I was helpful, but busy, but willing to meet with them. Also, the majority of the time, they walk away and never send me that email. Because they had an hour to kill right then, so talking to me about this topic was of interest to them if it could fill that 1 hour that they had free then. But as far as working it into their schedule after they left this dinner meeting that we're talking about, it wasn't that important to them. It wasn't that relevant to what they're doing that they wanted to take the time to meet with me. And you know what? That's okay with me. I don't want to waste my time with people who aren't really interested in what I have to offer. Now, the handful of people that do send me the email and do say, can we schedule a time in 2 weeks, Doug? Man, I love those people. I'm all over it. I'm probably going to send them an email back or give them a call and say, you know what? Now that I'm back at my desk and looking at my calendar, we don't have to wait 2 weeks. I think I've got some time the day after tomorrow. Would that work out for you? Can we meet for coffee? Because I know I've got someone who's really interested in what I have to offer. The secret here is that I always say yes to every request, but I say yes with conditions. And the conditions are conditions that really sort of discourage the person who's being lazy about asking me something. It's sort of like I'm a poor speller, okay? I've really, part of my education, I never learned how to spell well. And if somebody early on had said to me when I asked them, how do you spell some word? Doug, you need to look that up. I might have learned how to spell. But what happened is people would answer my question. And I decided that, you know what, it's a lot easier to just ask people how to spell this word than it is for me to go through the pain of sounding it out and looking it up and figuring it out. It was, so I was just kind of lazy. Now, if they said, you know, no, I don't have time to tell you right now. I'm not sure. Why don't you look it up, Doug? I walked away and half the time I decided, you know what, there's probably another word I could use instead that would be just as good. So saying yes to everything creates the positive impression that you are willing to be available and willing to be helpful. Saying yes with conditions keeps you from being overloaded with requests from people that really aren't that interested in what you have to offer. Well, that's it for today. That's what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to share with you the issue that I think is so common in coaching, so common in our business world today and even in our social world about people being afraid to ask for what they want and not knowing how to go about it. I hope that these three tips have kind of helped clear the air a little bit. I hope that the issue of saying yes to everything with conditions sort of gives you a way to maybe get your calendar cleaned up a little bit and not be quite so overloaded. So before we sign off, let me just remind you that the March 13th dinner meeting for the Orange County chapter of the ICF is going to be at the Wyndham Hotel in Costa Mesa, and you can get more information on that with the coachesoforangecounty.com. Be sure to listen to our show next week. Looking forward to it. I hope that today we've given you some information that you can put to use immediately and that will help you to be productive and to identify and achieve your goals in new and rewarding ways. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.